Something has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting. The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connolly are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin. Dallas, Texas. The flash, apparently official. President John F. Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
A leading assassination researcher released this week the verbatim transcript of a top-secret meeting of the Warren Commission in which the commissioners discussed reports that Lee Harvey Oswald was, in fact, a paid informer for the FBI when President Kennedy was assassinated. The transcript has been locked up in the National Archives for the past decade. It had been obtained and was made public by investigator Harold Weisberg on the 11th anniversary of JFK's death. The 90-page document contains the reports and remarks of Warren commissioners who were summoned to a special emergency meeting in Washington on the night of January 27, 1964, to discuss what they termed disturbing reports the commission had received.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination.
Chief Justice Earl Warren discussed with other members of the commission reports from police officials in Texas that Oswald, the alleged lone assassin, had secretly been receiving $200 per month in payments from the FBI to act as an undercover informer. In addition, Texas state officials reported they had uncovered evidence that Oswald had been assigned the undercover number of S-172 or S-179 by his FBI contacts. The sources of these disturbing reports, commissioners were told, were Texas newsman Lonnie Hudkins, Alan Sweat, the chief criminal deputy sheriff of Dallas, and Bill Alexander, then assistant district attorney of Dallas. I talked with investigator Harold Weisberg, who obtained that 90-page document, and I asked him how he first became involved in the investigation of JFK's death.
By the abdication of the media, I think you'd have to understand my background. I'm 61 years old. I was a reporter before I was old enough to vote, and as a matter of fact, I cast my first vote when I was a Senate investigator. I then became an investigative reporter, was a Washington correspondent for a magazine in Washington. And then I was in intelligence in World War II and for a short time thereafter. So I have a different background than most of the people working either in assassinations or as reporters, and as a matter of fact, as investigators. And when I couldn't interest people I knew in the press in asking the questions that absolutely had to be asked, and in following the leads that surely should have been followed. And worse, when I had a handshake deal on two books, and when I gave my agent a lead summary and lost my agent and the handshake deal on two books, I felt I owed an obligation to this country.
When did you begin your investigations?
Well, in the literal sense, I suppose the minute the assassination happened, actually, I began keeping systematic records after I lost my agent when she got hysterical.
Well, how did you go about conducting your investigations?
Well, I began, first of all, by a very careful examination and a critical examination of first the Warren Commission's report, and then its 26 volumes of appended evidence, and then I began plumbing the quicksand of 300 cubic feet of files in the archives, most of which are not really secret. And there was a fair amount of information there that was of value. And then I did a combination of things. I worked in the archives and I went out in the field and did my own investigating. I found witnesses who had been interviewed by the FBI and not asked the right questions. I found witnesses who should have been interviewed by the FBI and were not, or at least there were not written records of their having been interviewed. And in the course of it, quite properly, I've collected what has to be one of the world's largest private collections of FBI reports. I got a couple thousand I haven't had a chance to read yet. I also turned to the law. I'd like the system to work. The people who control the system are those who are least anxious for it to work. So I've used my own combination of methods based on my own background, which is different than that of most people.
Now, there was a 90-page document which contained the remarks of Warren commissioners who were summoned to a special emergency meeting in Washington on January 27th.
1964, right.
Now, what was the conclusion, or what was contained in that report?
Contained more than it was supposed to contain. I've been interested in this for 6 or 8 years, and I spent that long a time trying to get it, finally going to court to get it. It was supposedly to consider new evidence on whether or not Oswald had been an FBI or a CIA agent. It actually wanted far afield, but it did consider that. And what the members of the Warren Commission say quite explicitly in this transcript that was classified top secret, and let me digress to say that top secret under the regulations means the kind of thing that could cause war, and obviously this was not the kind of thing that could cause a war. They were to consider this. They finally decided that there was no way they could convince anybody that Oswald wasn't an agent. And in the course of this, they had their own in-house expert, Alan Dulles, who had been the head of the CIA in its most disastrous years, was a member of the Warren Commission. And he told them, other members, quite candidly, that perjury is a way of life. That it is proper, it is expected. Some of the people are bad people and will lie when they shouldn't, but that he himself would not even not lie to the Secretary of Defense. He said, now, of course, I would tell the President the truth. But those of your listeners who are old enough to remember or have been interested in the subject should recall that Mr. Dulles, when he ran the CIA, did not tell President Eisenhower the full truth about the Francis Gary Powers U-2 flight, nor did he tell President Kennedy the full truth about the preparation for the Bay of Pigs and the commitments that had been made without John Kennedy knowing about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because it proves that although Dulles said that he would not lie to the President, as a matter of fact, the head of the CIA will lie to anybody, and Alan Dulles is as good an expert as you can get on it.
So in that transcript of the Warren Commission, then, they did conclude that Oswald was working for the FBI?
No.
They didn't conclude.
They didn't reach any conclusion,
mm-hmm.
except one, that they couldn't investigate it. Now, what the members of the Warren Commission didn't know is how much had gone on behind their backs. But there came a time when the man who ran the Warren Commission, J. Lee Rankin, who had been a respected liberal Republican, and the Eisenhower administration, when he was Solicitor General of the United States, was manipulating them as carefully as a farmer manipulates a bull by putting a ring in his nose. Their purpose was ostensibly to consider the evidence that Oswald had these kinds of intelligence connections. In fact, they had no evidence in front of them during this session or at any other time. And all they were worried about was how they were going to hide it. Rankin's words were, we have this dirty rumor that we have to lay to rest. He didn't say we have this rumor, we have to investigate. So in that part, he was explicit. But thereafter, he becomes quite subtle. And he manipulates the members of the committee just like you would manipulate checkers on a checkerboard. And the Warren Commission, in fact, never did investigate whether Oswald was or could have been an agent of any federal intelligence or police agency.
Well, why didn't they come out and ask J. Edgar Hoover point blank, was he or was he not connected with the FBI?
They did, and J. Edgar Hoover said point blank he was not. But Alan Dulles had already said that he would have lied about it and that Hoover would lie about it, although he would believe Hoover. So the Warren Commission knew that a point blank denial meant nothing. And this transcript includes their exact words as they consider that. They say, it won't make any difference if Hoover denies it. Dulles says, of course, I would believe, but with somebody else. So, besides that, Hoover's denial is less than definitive. Hoover's denial is in volume 5 of the Warren Commission, 26 volumes, if any of you listeners want to look at the hearings in their local library, if your local library has them. All he says is that Lee Harvey Oswald was not an agent of the FBI. But he doesn't say, for example, that O.H. Lee, the name under which Oswald was registered, if you're to believe the Warren Commission, at the rooming house in which he lived at the time he was arrested, was not an agent. He doesn't say that Heidel, a name by which Oswald is supposed to have gone, was not an agent. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
All he does is say Lee Harvey Oswald was not an agent. Now, what Dulles makes clear is that Hoover would have no way of knowing. And this is what the real problem the Warren Commission was. Dulles spelled it out. He said, only two people would know. There might or there might not be a record in writing. But if there was a record in writing, it would be in hieroglyphics. And hieroglyphics is his word. And remember, I began by saying that he said they would all perjure themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got people, and only two people in the world know, and all the records in hieroglyphics, if they exist, and the people who control these hieroglyphics are going to be perjurers because that's their dedication and their patriotism and their loyalty, how in the world can anybody know?
Well, 11 years has now passed since the assassination of JFK, and at this point, nobody really has any more information as to who assassinated him other than Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
Well, I'd have to take issue with the last part. There's no reason to believe now, and there never was any belief that Lee Harvey, reason to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald did assassinate President Kennedy. But the rest of it is absolutely true. In spite of all, and I would hope your listeners would really think about this, in spite of all the loose talk that gets a lot of attention, and the only kind of talk that generally gets attention is loose talk by people who really don't know what they're talking about but are quite sincere. We really do not know who killed John Kennedy. And you can do a fair amount of reasonable theorizing, but when you're finished, all you have done is conjecture. And in effect, you conjecture if the moon is made of green cheese.
If I made it, love you now, would be the sweetest thing. It would make me sing. But I may as well try and catch the wind.
A number of assassination researchers have claimed for the past decade that Lee Harvey Oswald was not a lone nut, as the commission publicly claimed he was. Instead, they suggested Oswald had ties to the FBI and other U.S. intelligence agencies.
Now the prisoner wearing a black sweater, he has changed from his t-shirt, is being moved out toward an armored car. Being let out by Captain Fritz. There is the prisoner. Do you have anything to say in your defense?
What?
There is a shot. Oswald has been shot. Oswald has been shot. A shot rang out. Mass confusion here. All the doors have been locked. Holy mackerel. A shot rang out as he was led into his car. The shot, there's a mass confusion there. Rolling and fighting. As he was being let out, now he's being let back. He was thrown to the ground. The police have the entire area blocked off. Everybody stay back. Is the yell. Did you see it?
This is Blue.